As you know, we are taking some time together to look carefully into our vision statement for the relocation building plan that we have. And as we think about moving forward, we're looking at that vision statement phrase by phrase. The first week, we looked at the first part of the vision statement. We are building a home for the family. The second week, we looked at the second part of that statement. We're building a lighthouse for the lost. And this morning, I want us to look at the last part of the vision statement. We are building a legacy for the next generation. This is why we're doing what we're doing. We are building a home for the family, a lighthouse for the lost, and a legacy for the next generation. We need to take some time to look at that legacy this morning. As we do, notice the progression through that vision statement. We are building a home for the family. That's an inward look. We're building a home for this family of God. And we're inviting others to be a part of the family. But then in week two, we move from an inward look to an outward look. We're building a lighthouse for the lost. We're looking outward for those who have not found their way yet. And this morning, we're looking forward. We looked inward, we looked outward, now we look forward. As we think together about legacy, inward look is comforting. The outward look is challenging. The forward look is costly, because it's the one that asks you to sacrifice for someone you may never meet. Understand that when we challenge each other to this, we are not the first generation to do it. We are sitting today in a building that represents the sacrifices and the hard work of people who came before us. Tomorrow, we will celebrate the life of Betty Tucker. Betty Tucker has been a member of our church longer than anyone else alive today. She joined our church in 1951, 75 years. She's been a member of our church. What that means for us today is that Betty and her husband, Jake, were a part and usually a major part of every single building program, building project that our church has experienced in most of this century. The only thing that they probably were not a part of was when the old sanctuary, the original building here on the corner, was built in 1939. Other than that, every other building, every other parking lot, every other, the parsonage, they were a part of every bit of it. Jake was even the committee chair who helped us build this current sanctuary. I say that to say the reason that we have what we have now is because generations before us planned ahead and thought about what we might need. Now, my friends, it's our turn. Now it's our job to pick up the mantle, to look forward, and to decide what can we do for those generations yet to come. I want to invite your attention to Joshua chapter 4. There's some important lessons that we might learn about legacy in Joshua chapter 4. As you turn to that text, let me just kind of give you a little context, a little background. The people of Israel have been freed from Egypt. They have gone through the wilderness experience that has taken them many decades to get through that wilderness experience. Now it is finally time for them to enter into the promised land. That land that was promised not only to them, not only to Moses, but all the way back to Abram. land was promised to these people, that they would have their own place. And now, after many, many decades of longing and hoping and dreaming and working, now they finally are ready to enter into the promised land, but there's something in the way. In order to get over there to the promised land, they have to figure out how to cross the Jordan River. And when I say Jordan River, I'm not talking about, you know, a little river. I'm not talking about a narrow passage. The Jordan River at that time was very wide, and not only was it wide, but the Bible tells us here in the text that the waters had overflown the banks. And so this was a massive undertaking. In other words, that for which they had longed many, many years, and it was just in their grasp, they could see it right over there, and yet that thing that they wanted the most, they could not get to because there was a barrier that they could not handle on their own. There was more than they could take on by themselves. And so God says, here's how we're going to handle this. You get the priests to carry the Ark of the Covenant. And you'll remember the Ark of the Covenant was representative of God's physical presence. They believed that God resided right there with that Ark of the Covenant. And as they carried the Ark of the Covenant, they were saying, God is with us. God is doing whatever happens here. This is about Him and not us. And He said, you have the priests carry the Ark of the Covenant, so God does whatever happens. And as soon as the priests stepped into the water, the waters parted. Notice it didn't happen until they stepped into the water, until they took that step of faith. But when they took the step of faith, the waters parted, just like it had back in the Red Sea when they began their journey. Now, at the end of their journey, God parts the waters again. The waters stop, and the riverbed is dry, and the people now, following the priests, can cross that dry riverbed into the land of promise. Chapter 4, verse 1. When all the nation had finished passing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, take 12 men from the people, from each tribe a man, and command them, saying, take 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priests' feet stood firmly, and bring them over with you and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight. Once they had crossed the river, God says to Joshua, pick you 12 guys and have them go pick up stones from the dry riverbed. Not from the shore where the people were, but from the riverbed. In other words, go pick up reminders that you could not have done this without God. Go get the stones that are now dry because God parted the waters. He said, get the stones from the place where the priests stood firmly. That means that when the waters parted, there wasn't just a bunch of muddy, mucky mush. Oh, that's kind of fun to say. Try that. Muddy, mucky, no. It was a solid, dry ground. They stood firmly. And he says, now you go pick up the stones from that place, so that you'll always remember God did what it took to get you where you needed to be. Understand that. Remember that. God did what it took to get you where you're intended to be. Go pick up those stones and then put them where we sleep on the other side. Pick them up from where God did His thing. Put them where we're sleeping to signify this is where He brought us. And so they each picked up a stone and brought it and placed it there on the other side, much like a monument to what God had done. You see, legacy begins by remembering what God has done. Legacy begins by remembering what God has done. If we are going to leave a legacy for the next generation, we have to remember that this legacy is not about us. This legacy is continuing a story of what God has done in and through this church since 1858. Since 1858, God's been building and working and providing. And now we get to continue that story. Legacy begins by remembering what God has done. In Psalm 145, verse 4, one generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. This is the joy that we get to experience now. We get to participate in one generation commending God's works to another. We get to pass on the story, to pass on all that God has done. We get to be a part of leaving a legacy that honors God. I think that this text, this verse, generation shall commend your works to another, declare your mighty acts. This verse speaks especially to communities like ours that are still basically rural and agricultural, because most of the farmers that we know inherited at least some of their land from family. Not all. None of these stories ever fit everybody. But many times farms have been in families for generations. Farmer today might benefit from land that he did not originally clear. Someone else bought that land and cleared it and began to farm it. Somebody generations ago fixed that fence. Somebody a long time back dug that well. Somebody paid the note during the hard years to keep it in the family. We didn't just inherit this building. We inherited a witness. We inherited a story. One generation, commend your works to another. Because legacy begins by remembering what God has done. And then notice with me that legacy requires building something that tells the right story. Pick it up at verse 4 with me. Then Joshua called the 12 men from the people of Israel, whom he had appointed, a man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, pass on before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take up each of you a stone upon his shoulder. That tells you the size of these things. These are not little pocket stones. These are big ones. They'd have to carry on their shoulder so they would easily be recognizable later. People would pass by and say, wow, there's a pile of rocks, and those are big rocks, so something must have happened here. So he says in verse 5 that they went and go and pick up these on your shoulder according to the number of the tribes, the people of Israel. Verse 6, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. He said, go put a pile of rocks over there so that there will be a memorial. So when your children come by and they say, why is that pile of rocks sitting there? Then that enables you to tell the story. But he stressed to them that it's important that you tell the story of the waters parting, because God did that. Legacy requires building something that tells the right story. A building is not the church. But the building can serve the mission of the church, and it must tell the right story. What would be the wrong story for us to tell as we plan relocation, as we build a new building? What would be the wrong story? Look at what we did. Look what we accomplished. Everybody know our names so we get credit. The right story is not how impressive we are, but look at what God has done. And when you see what God has done, you'll have a better understanding of what He can do. This is our story. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul is talking to the early church and he says, look, according to the grace of God given to me like a skilled master builder, I laid the foundation. He gives God the credit, but he says, this is the role I played. I laid the foundation. Then another generation came. Someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. Generation after generation, as we continue to follow God and build His church, let each one take care how he builds on it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. We are building the story, but we got to tell the right story. It's the story of Jesus Christ. Legacy is passed down through intentional conversation. Legacy is passed down through intentional conversation. Did you see there in verses 6 and 7? When the children come by and ask, what are these stones for? You tell them intentionally. You have it planned. You know what you're going to say. You tell them the story. Fast forward through this chapter with me. We're going to go close to the end of the chapter and look at verse 21. Picking it up at verse 21, he said to the people of Israel, when your children ask their fathers in times to come, what do these stones mean? Then you shall let your children know Israel passed over this Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up for us until we passed over. Twice now, he has said, when the children come by and ask about the rocks, you tell them the story. And both times he stressed, when you tell the story, you tell the story about what God did. You see, legacy is passed down through intentional conversation. The stones could not explain themselves. They're just a monument. The children didn't automatically understand. They didn't know the story of their generations that came before them. The stories had to be told intentionally. The adults had to tell the story. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, we looked at it a couple of weeks ago, so we'll not return there. But just remember, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, he told us to diligently teach these things to our children. Diligently, intentionally, on purpose, we decide to do so. In Acts chapter 2, we find the very first truly Christian sermon that was ever preached. And when that sermon was preached, amazing things happened. People came to the Lord left and right. They said, hey, Peter, what do we have to do? What should be our next step? And he said, well, your next step should be that you should follow through in baptism and you should repent. You should change your life, the way you've been living, live in a different way, and get baptized so people know what happened here today. And then he concluded that in that conversation by saying, for the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off. He said, this is going to be for your children. It's something that you have got to pass along. It's something that you've got to teach these two. I wore a tie today, which I don't often do. On Sundays, I rarely wear a tie unless we're having the Lord's Supper. So I wore this one because when my daughter Ashley was growing up, every year she would make me a Father's Day tie. She would paint it or whatever they do. I don't know. She would make my Father's Day tie every year. Well, she kind of, I guess, outgrew that at one point, but then she had her daughter, Collins, my granddaughter. And now every year for Father's Day, Collins makes me a tie. And so this was this year's Father's Day tie. I didn't get to wear it on Father's Day, so I wore it today. To you, it's just a white tie. To me, it's a generational story. I look at this tie, and I remember Ashley when she was 3 and 4 and 5. And now her 3-year-old carries the tradition. After the explosion happened, my uncle Dale came to town to encourage us. And he gave me a gift. He said he gave it to me because he was proud of the work we were doing, and he thought my dad would be proud of me. My dad died when I was pretty young. But he said my dad carried this Bible with him in the 50s, which probably means he carried it with him during the Korea conflict. But my dad carried this Bible. And sometime in the 50s, he gave this Bible to my Uncle Dale. And so my Uncle Dale carried it and thought of my dad. And the day that we got married, my Uncle Dale came to the wedding, and he had my daddy's Bible in the pocket of his suit coat. He carried this Bible in my wedding. And then once I had this, he wrote an inscription in it, talks about my dad, and it talks about my Uncle Dale, tells the story. And then years after our wedding, my daughter got married, and she talked her dad into doing the wedding. And so in my daughter's wedding, I carried my daddy's Bible. One of these days, my daughter's going to get this Bible. When you see it, it's just an old Bible. It's kind of like those that the Gideons hand out. It's old, it's cracked, it's yellowed. When you see it, it's just another Bible. But when I see it, I see my family, because I know the story. It's just a tie unless you know the story. The rocks are just rocks unless you tell the story. A building on the other side of town is just going to be a building unless we tell the story. The story that God put together, 37 people on a farm outside of town 160 something years ago, and they formed a church. A story of how those people moved into town when everybody else started moving into town because the railroad was coming through. And a story of how those people who came into town eventually moved to this corner, and the building in which they met burned down in 1938. And so they stayed and they rebuilt and they continued under God's leadership and His providence. And they built another building in 1939. A story of how God continued to bless those people through the decades as they built and built and built. Until today, we don't even have some of the other buildings that were built in the past, but currently we have 4 different buildings that we pretend are really one. When we build, when we continue, we're not going to build a building so we can say, look what we did. We're not going to build a building for our convenience. When we build, we're going to build so we can make sure that we get to keep telling the story of an almighty God who has an incredible gospel that changes lives. Legacy requires building something that tells the right story. Legacy is passed down through intentional conversation. And legacy is not only for our children. It's not only for our children, it's for others. This is this verse. It's a promise for you and your children, but it's also for everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. Our story is bigger than even our families. It's 2060. In the year 2060, a man entering First Baptist Church of West hears the gospel clearly for the first time. The first time in his life, he finally understands what the gospel is really all about. He will get to know Jesus, but he'll never know our names. He may meet our Savior because we were faithful, like those before us were faithful. A Greek proverb says, a society grows great when old men plant trees in whose shade they know they'll never sit. You've heard me quote that many times because that drives a big part of who we are. A society grows great when old men plant trees in whose shade they know they'll never sit. But today I think we could adapt it to what we're doing, and we could say simply that legacy is planting trees under whose shade future generations will someday rest. We've talked about the empty chair each day, each Sunday through the series. The empty chair represents the person who's not here yet. When we talked about family, it was another chair at the table. We want to provide room for more people to come. The day we talked about the lighthouse for the lost, it was empty because that person has yet to find their way. They're still out there lost. We want them to have a place when they come. Today, the chair means something a little bit different, and it even means something different than I had originally planned. But today, the chair is empty because Betty Tucker's not here. You and I are here because of the work that Betty and those in her generation did. They're not here anymore. Which means it's our turn. We pick up the mantle. We continue the work. We tell the story so that others may come. God, we thank you. Thank you for those who came before us, who left stones in our pathway that we might recognize the ways in which you have worked. Lord, we pray that you would help us to be good stewards of all the gifts that others gave for us. Help us that we might now continue that legacy of sacrifice, of hard work, of dedication, of faith in you to get us through that last obstacle. God, help us to live out that legacy in a way that honors you, brings glory to the name of Jesus, and reaches this community for him. We pray in his name. Amen. Let's stand together.